Thank you, Leon, and thank you, Praise Team. Thank you for being here for worship today. I was a little concerned that I'm glad to see all the fans show up. A little concerned with a 2 o'clock game this afternoon that I'm not exactly sure who that is that's playing. My team played Friday night. Leon, I was so caught up there, I turned around, I told Doug, I want to jump ahead when you were singing that song. It seemed like I should just go right on in there. Every verse would come up, and I'd just jump out and say it before the music was ready and before you was ready. I just so filled with the Spirit this morning, and thank you for that wonderful music. And I felt like time we started singing Holy, Holy, I didn't know whether to fall on the floor or to stand up. I honestly didn't, y'all. I just felt God's presence so powerful. That's kind of an interesting title to a sermon, isn't it? Deacons Earn a Degree. David and Melissa, we're so thrilled today to be setting you apart. You're a product of Mike Barbie's Sunday school class, and you moved up here, and I don't mean to embarrass you, David, but you have just, I don't know whether your wife was prodding you or whether that wonderful upbringing that you finally had began to but you have just... I've watched you grow in the Lord. I've watched you develop in the Lord, and I'm not surprised that this congregation placed such great confidence in you, in choosing you to serve as one of our deacons. He loves numbers, and I kept sending updates out on my condition from my two surgeries, and I shared in one of them that I didn't choose either date for my surgery, April the 12th, and 4 months later, August the 12th. And David emailed me one day. He said, Pastor Johnny, I love numbers. He said, do you realize what 12 times 12 is? And I, of course, 144, we know that. And he said, do you realize that how long it will be from your first surgery till you come back in the pulpit after your second surgery? And I didn't. Exactly 144 days. I say that because he was the only one that sent that to me. And he sent it to me at a time that he was unaware of where I was and all that I was dealing with in my life. All of the stresses and the strains and trying to live my faith, Rome and I both trying to live our faith before you, a very difficult time. I'm really just beginning to feel like my old self again. I hope one day to look like my old self, but I'm really am. I really am. I still have a few issues, but God is gracious, God is good, and I thank him for that. And when David sent that to me, I said to myself then, only God could have revealed that to him, because he didn't reveal it to me. Not that I should have revealed it to me, but I was just amazed, David, that he would reveal that to you 144 days to the date that I came back in this pulpit. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to do my best to be brief. You all know that's a challenge. But I am going to do my best to be brief, because the chairman of our deacons, Bert Kraft, is going to bring the charge to the church. Another one of our deacons, Tim French, is going to bring the charge to the candidate. Another one of our deacons, Mike Matt Reichert. Matt Reichert is going to bring us our ordination prayer. Then we'll follow the laying on of hands by our deacons and their wives. And then another one of our deacons, Lucky McDade, is going to present David and Melissa with their gifts and present David with his certificate. Stand with me as we read together from 1 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning at verse 8. In like manner must the deacon be grave and not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith and a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. That certainly doesn't mean sinless, by the way. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, that means gossipers, sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let them be the husband of one wife, ruling their own children and their own houses well. Verse 13 is where our title comes from. For they that have used the office of a deacon, this is twice the word use. If you remember back in verse 10, it is mentioned. Here it's mentioned again. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree. Your Bible may say great standing or good standing, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Leon was talking earlier about truth. How important it is. They are guardians of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the nations, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Father, we thank you so much for David and Melissa, for Gabby and Raleigh. We thank you for David and Melissa's families being with us today. We thank you for their presence in this special time in a son and a daughter's life. I pray, God, today that you will manifest yourself in our presence. I thank you so much. I thank you so much, Father, for calling us and setting us apart, each and every one, and ordaining us into the gospel ministry, and giving us the opportunity, Father, to share the word of salvation, the word of redemption, to a lost and a dying world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. That's my little granddaughter. That's where my wife is at, trying to help manage two. They wore me out Friday. How is it possible that God in his sovereignty and God in his great wisdom in the early church would set these men apart and set them apart, choosing them through the body for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith? How is it possible that God in his great sovereignty could see this day? Because he is God. And because he never makes a mistake. And so I want to say to you today as a church family that through you, he has not made a mistake in choosing our brother in Christ, David, and our sister in Christ, Melissa, to serve and the diaconate ministry. And by the way, Melissa, so that you'll understand, you're called as much as David is called. You're set apart as much as David is set apart. And to understand and to know that God saw this day and God saw this time in the councils of eternity past, even before he spoke the world into existence and even before anything was created, including Adam and Eve. God saw this day and God saw this time. That amazes me when I think about all that is happening around us and all that is taking place in our world today, and especially with the Hurricane Matthew and all that has happened, the number of people that have lost their lives and have lost their lives in previous storms, to know that our God is sovereign, that our God is in control, that our God never, ever makes a mistake. He doesn't have to second guess himself. So I guess I'm saying two things in that this morning. One, to you as a church family, you must always believe that God was sovereign in the choice of choosing David to serve you and Melissa to serve you in the diaconate ministry. And David and Melissa, the day and the time may come when you may even question that. And you must remember that the calling of God is without repentance. In other words, God never second guesses himself. He doesn't have to go back and say, well, I made a mistake there, because he cannot make a mistake. Therefore, what is about to happen in this service today is God ordained, God chosen, and God directed. And we need to understand that, and we need to recognize that, and we need to embrace that, and we need to love that, and understand that this is not just some formal thing that we are doing today. In other words, what we are in essence doing is we are saying, God, we agree with you that this is your choice for this time and this place in the ministry of Dutch Fork Baptist Church. If God so chooses later to move David and Melissa somewhere else and send them out as missionaries from here to somewhere else and he serves there, then that is still God's choice and God's direction. And so, when Paul writes to his young son Timothy here in the faith, he says some things that I think are extremely important for us to grab hold of. We can look at all of these things that qualify this person in these verses to fulfill this office. But I want to take the time that I have this morning, and I want us to focus on verse 13. Look at verse 13 with me, please. For they that have used. In other words, Paul is writing to Timothy and saying that this is a place of great value in the kingdom of God. This is a place where God so ordained and God chose through the body, his body, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and he so chose this man and his wife for such a time as this in the ministry of this body. And so we understand then the absolute sovereign choice of God. And we understand then the absolute sovereign choice of God in the ministry that he is seeking to provide to this body. David is going to bring certain strengths and certain gifts to our diaconate ministry in this church. You see, our deacons are kind of like the body in a sense. Everyone has and fills a different function, and none have all of the same gifts, and none have all of the gifts. In fact, when you look in the list of spiritual gifts that are recorded three places within the New Testament, you don't find the deacon mentioned. You do find the spiritual gift of a pastor mentioned. But you do not find the spiritual gift of a deacon that is mentioned. But you find the ministry of the deacon is mentioned. And if you remember in Acts chapter 6, where we believe that this was the place where they were chosen and set apart by the early church, you remember it was the responsibility of the church to choose seven men who were of good report, seven men who were filled with faith, seven men who were filled with wisdom to serve in that capacity. And that capacity was a very simple capacity. It was simply serving food to make sure that the distribution of food was equally shared. God placed such a high priority on even the administering of food that he would say that these men must be of good report, full of faith, and full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And so Paul writes here to his young son, his prodigy in the faith, and he says, they that have used, David, you will use this office to advance the kingdom of God. You will use this office to fulfill Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. They that have used the office of a deacon well purchased. Notice that Paul uses a language here of an exchange. Of an exchange, purchase. They purchased to themselves a good degree. A good degree. The word degree in some translations is standing. Paul writes in Ephesians to the church at Ephesus, and he reminds the church at Ephesus of at least seven walks that are so important in that early church as they seek to serve Christ, as they seek to fulfill the mission of the church. And the mission of the Christ of the church in Christ is to be missional to a world that needs the gospel. Well, how is it possible that you would purchase to yourself a good degree or a good standing? By the life that you will live, by the manner in which you will minister, by the ethics, by the character, by the witness of your life, by the attitude of service, by the conduct and the spirit of Christ dwelling in you, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Your life will influence others. Whether you realize it or not, you will be a disciple. Other young men in the church will look to you, David, and they will look to you and they will idolize you in one sense of the word. They will model their life around you and the manner and the conduct in which you conduct yourself in ministry to this body and in ministry to others. And as a result of that, you will begin to stand out. You will begin to stand out, but you will also begin to stand above. You will begin to stand head and shoulders above by the heart and by the depth of your love for others, because Jesus said by that they would know that you were, and I, his disciple, the way that we loved one another. And so Paul said to Timothy, they that use this office well purchase to themselves a good standing or a good degree and great boldness. One of the testimonies that is found in the book of Acts about those early believers in particular was their boldness. They were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believed, and therefore they saw themselves as little Christ, literally living out the life of Christ and demonstrating and modeling Christ. And so Paul says, great boldness. You're to be bold, David. Humble but bold. Meek but strong. Meek is not weakness, by the way. Meekness is never weakness. Meekness is that inner spirit within us that causes us to stand, that causes us to not waver, that causes us to be strong in the face of all that is brought against us sometimes in our lives. And so the world sees us and sees our faith as a faith that is bold. I'm always amazed by some of the other so-called, quote, religions and their boldness. Even the Islamic faith and their boldness. Could not we as believers understand that there is a boldness that is expected, that is anticipated of the person that is filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit? Could we not understand, could we not see, and could we not recognize that we are called to be bold in our faith? Every now and then y'all get real soft and y'all pay me a compliment or two on my messages. Most of the time you say to me, you appreciate so much my passion. I know I'm not a great theologian. There are theologians sitting in the congregation this morning. And I'm grateful for their witness, and I'm grateful for their love. But I've never thought of myself as being a great theologian. But I do think of myself as being bold and passionate about what I believe. And church, listen to me this morning. If there was ever a call and ever a time for Christians to be bold, is the day that we're living in. Where every ism is attacking the church, attacking our faith. And little by little, our faith is being taken away from us. Paul said, let a man examine himself to see whether he be in the faith. What was he talking about? He was talking about that boldness. That boldness. People today need to know what we believe and why we believe it. They need to know who we believe in and what we believe about him and what we believe about what he's done. Boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus.